Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists Podcast. I'm your host, Annie McGrath, and this week I am joined by the fabulous actor, writer, performer, Rosa Robson. She is such a nice gal and a brilliant performer. You can see her in ITV2's Buffering and loads of other things. She was on Inside Number 9 on BBC, and she's generally an all-round great gal. She painted her mother's shelf of shit, which is a sort of beautiful wooden cabinet full of miniature objects that her and her family have collected for many years. So that was nice. It was great to chat to her, and I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, then remember to write us a nice little review and tell everyone you know about it. Also, if you want to see mine and Rosa's artworks from the episode, then follow Secret Artists on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod. See you on the other side. Rosa Robson is a comedian, actor and writer who has been part of the Royal Shakespeare Company and is known for her roles in TV shows such as BBC's Inside Number 9, ITV2's Buffering and the film Black Mountain Poets. Rosa began her comedy career at university as a member of the Cambridge Footlights and then as one half of comedy duo Beard, who won the Laugh Out London Best Show Award at the Edinburgh Festival in 2015. Rosa made some beautiful ceramics for the exhibition of Art by Comedians I curated at Fiumana Classa, and I'm very excited about seeing her artistic skills in practice.
Hey.
Hello, Rosa.
Hello. I don't think that's how you say it, Fiumana Classa. Is that right?
Yeah, so Fiumana, that's Francesca, she's Italian, and then Andreas is Classa. He's Swedish.
That's gorgeous. I've been saying it so wrong for so long.
That's all right.
Sorry,
I'll
guys.
I mean, they might not, but I've been.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. I went, generally everything's kind of horrible at the moment, is how I'm feeling. But I've been, yeah. I went home for a week and to try and recharge. And that's where I got the inspo for our image today, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah, do you want to explain to me what it is? Our muse. Ooh, that's cool.
This is my mum's shelf of shit. That's her own name for it. And basically, it's a sort of modern day antiquity collection. We go to car boot sales and have done three multiple times a week since I was tiny. So it's a sort of a little collection of all those bits, and everything's got a story. Not the funniest I could have picked.
That's all right.
But lots of
it's very organized shit.
It's all got a space.
Yeah. So what have we got on there? What are the highlights?
We've got kind of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 slots up from the bottom. We've got the kind of grey slugs, which are Victorian ammonite.
Oh wow.
I don't know if you saw the Kate Winslet film, but they are the real deal, those little guys. And then the mouse with the bridal veil was on my sister's wedding cake.
Oh.
And that was made by our friend Georgie, who's actually an amazing drag queen. Shout out Georgie B. She made that. A plectrum from my brother's band days.
Oh, yeah.
A little,
what was his band?
Blackbud. Yeah. Yeah, nice. They were great. And that little lady, actually, that little matchbox lady has been there forever. I don't actually know the deal with her.
But yeah,
so
that's
when
one
did
of my
your
niece's
mum start
toys.
the shelf of shit?
This is from, I think she started when she was maybe 10.
Wow, that's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of kind of, just a lot of big family moments have happened at car boot sales. I don't know why they've been so integral to our to our lives, what they have.
Do you go to one specific car boot sale?
Yeah, there is one called Standerwick in Frome, which is where I'm from, which is a kind of an old fave. It's a big, it's a proper farmer's one.
Great.
Yeah,
none of, this is ideal. Yeah. So how, if you find something that should go on the shelf of shit, does your mum have like a veto? Or is she the one who decides what goes on, or do you decide like as a family?
You know what? I'd say, given that she's quite house proud and she has quite firm rules about what the house is going to look like, this is a free for all. This is sort of
nice.
Anything that's the right size is allowed in. Yeah.
And do you ever have to like demote objects in favour of new objects?
Yeah, I think there has been some tensions. Now there's a next generation. All my siblings have got little kids. Mm-hmm. There's some tensions around new incoming little plastic guys. So their little plastic dog. I remember there was some tension around whether that was of the kind of a good enough quality to make it in. But there she is. There she is. Pride
nice.
Of place.
She's made it. So do you think your mum would ever get like another one for the next gen? Or do you think it will remain this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, maybe, because now I'm looking at it, it is pretty full now. Mm. And it would feel hard to get rid of anything. I mean, even there's the miniature stapler, that could never go. I think it would have to be a new setup completely.
Yeah. You know who would love this? Ellie White.
Because she likes tiny things.
She likes tiny things. Did you know that about her?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the first things we bonded over, actually, because I also love tiny things.
Yeah.
And why is that? Do you love tiny things?
I appreciate them. I wouldn't say I have the same sort of obsession with them. I mean, I would quite like one of these shelves, and I am a bit of a hoarder, so.
Hey, you could get into them. I mean, it's never too late.
I could get into them, yeah. I don't know that I've got the wall space for a shelf of shit, but... I love it. Great. So what are you going to work with today? Are you painting or drawing?
I've actually got some really fancy acrylic paints that I bought over lockdown, thinking,
oh, nice.
I'm going to take up painting, and then have never touched them. So an untouched box of acrylic paints is what I'm working with today.
I'm going to use sort of, they're crayons, but they're like posh crayons, you know? Like,
oh, nice.
Sort of artists.
Can I see?
I don't
oh,
know
lovely.
If you can see that.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Great. Do you think you're going to do the whole thing, or are you going to like focus in on something?
Yeah, I'm going to try and capture the whole lot.
Nice.
I had to get my mum to actually take this photo, and there was a real back and forth around trying to get her to get the whole thing in one image. We didn't quite get the mini tennis racket in at the top.
I wondered what that was. I thought it was a dream catcher.
Well, yeah, maybe they are that. I mean, actually, no, I think she told me about this. They're tiny... This is insane. They're tiny skis, like tiny old skis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the little shoes, the little furry shoes, I think are Inuit baby shoes. And so there's some kind of connection.
Amazing. That's very cool. Yeah. Right, I'm going to start, I think. Yeah, I wondered if you might choose sort of clay, because... You did those amazing ceramics for my exhibition, and I wondered if that was your chosen medium.
I was tempted, you know. I don't own any clay, and I thought I could go and hunt some down. Mm. But that, again, I kind of have these, I'd say, bi-weekly freakouts where I think I need to be more creative. I need to do things, I need to make things, and then... I go to one class and then forget about it, or like buy these paints and then never do it. So that was one of those. But I would love to do more of that stuff. It does make me feel insanely good.
Did you do a course in ceramics or something?
I did a sort of month long course at that. Do you know the shop on Blackstock Road?
Clay
time.
I do. Yeah. I always used to walk past that and think, oh, that'd be fun. I should go there one day. Never did.
Yeah. Well, we should get back into it.
Yeah, I'd love to. I don't really know what I'm doing with ceramics. I feel like you have to be a bit more sort of careful and patient than you can be with painting. But maybe that's just not true.
I feel like you have to be hench. I mean, like, whenever I was, she would demonstrate something and make it look so easy. And then I'd attempt it. It'd be like, it's the most physically demanding thing I'd ever done. Compressing of the... So, yeah, we should sort of maybe do some prep, some workouts.
You're quite
hench,
though. I saw you boxing and buffering.
Yes. Did you have to get very hench for that? Lots of prep. No, that was famously took us a horribly long time to film because me and Janine Haruni, who plays Talia, just couldn't coordinate our limbs and our mouths. So we'd do
a
sort of
scene. That's sort of like stage combat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Punching you in the face.
Yeah.
You were great in that. I've just finished watching it.
Thank you.
Is it a fun show?
It was so quick. I mean, we had so little time, but everyone was very nice and very funny. Jessie Cave's lovely, Eleanor Sorrell's lovely. Yeah, it was just really great. But filming's kind of horrible. It's kind of scary. I think.
Do you prefer theatre or TV in general?
I wish I could be like, say with authority that I prefer one or the other, but I feel like I haven't actually done enough TV to really justify having an opinion. Yeah, but I just think it's because you did Defenders, right?
Yeah.
What was your experience on that?
Well, I was only there for a day, so for the listener, that's Stephen Merchant's Amazon. It's going to be on Amazon, isn't it?
Yes.
Amazon and BBC, yeah. I think it's a sort of comedy drama that's coming out, I think, at the end of this year. Although my part was just a sort of cameo in the second series, so I don't know when that will be out. It was fun, but because it was during COVID, it was quite strange. You don't really get to know people very well, especially because I was just in and out. Like, you get your own trailer. And you get the meals like delivered to you, which sounds very sort of nice and glamorous, but actually it's just
a bit sad.
Because of COVID, you can't really be hanging out with anyone. So but yeah, my scene was with Eleanor Tomlinson. She was very nice.
Oh, nice.
What was your experience? Because you were in it as well. That's a shame. Yeah, we didn't cross over.
I know. I also, my scenes were all with her because I was playing her kind of ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Which was quite fun. So we had some quite sort of like angsty breakup-y scenes that were
nice,
fun to do. But yeah, similarly, a lot of kind of sitting in a caravan on your own.
Yeah.
Sort of wondering how it's going out there.
Nice to be in Bristol though. Love Bristol.
So nice. Are you from Bristol?
No, I'm from London. Very boring. I went to school in Oxford, but no, not from Bristol at all.
Oh, so you went away for school?
No, I lived in London and then moved to Oxford. So went to
see.
It was a boarding school, but I was a day girl.
Okay, is that the same school that Ellie went to?
No, Ellie went to Oxford High School, and I went to Headington Girls School. We were sort of rival schools, but we were friends. Our school were known as Whores on the Hill.
No, come on, guys. That's not nice.
It was either.
Was that Ellie? Ellie came up with that.
Yeah. And then one of the schools was known as Virgin Megastores. Classic.
That's quite good. I quite like that one.
Yeah. So was Buffering, I assume that was filmed during lockdown as well, was it?
Yeah, that was very weird. We all kind of aged horribly between episode 2 and episode 3 because there was a good like 2 years in between.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration. A year and a bit. With the lockdown. So we did the first two, and then we were filming it originally in an actual house, this very insanely fancy house. And then lockdown happened, and obviously they needed to live in their house, and so the production team had to recreate, I mean, the entire house in a studio. It was incredible. Yeah, as in the downstairs, the kitchen, the garden, the stairs upstairs. I mean, the whole sort of three stories was all reconstructed. by them.
Oh, that's incredible. So what, yeah, first two episodes were filmed in the house, and then is the rest a studio?
Yeah. Amazing. Which I think actually for the crew was actually easier, because I guess studio is, everything's a bit more controlled and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Got that house.
But yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Is that actually
a pecker? Yeah. I mean, it's absurd to think that those characters would be living in that house. But yeah. Lovely to spend lots of time in for me.
Yeah. And what are you working on at the moment? Are you doing any more beard, or is that dead?
Not at the moment. dead in the ground. No, not at the moment. Matty, who is my partner in beard, is writing full time. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to resurrect it. I'm always nagging her. But I think I do kind of look back on it now and just think, I don't know how you feel about it, but having not done any live performance for such a long time, I sort of can't quite believe we did it. Like, it's so scary.
Yeah, I had one gig on Friday, and it was my first gig in ages, and I was so sort of stressed about it for the whole day, and then so relieved, like the adrenaline rush and the relief that firstly it had gone okay and that it was over. I was like, how can I ever do this for a month in Edinburgh every day, sometimes like three shows a day?
How did we?
Body.
No, I think actually we were all very unwell. Well, I was very unwell a lot of the time. But I it just seems really, I don't know. Maybe, I guess the more you do it, you kind of get used to the fear and you adapt to it. But it just feels hard to get back in. I definitely feel scared of re-entering the lion's den.
I think the more you do it, the less scary it is. But basically a full year of not doing live stuff, it does feel like a big adjustment going back to it.
Yeah. I don't even know anything about like what the scene is like now. Like, I don't know. I haven't even watched any live comedy for so long.
No,
it's kind of bad. I it was such a big part of my life. I feel like I need to revisit that.
How was being in the Royal Shakespeare Company?
It was sort of what you'd imagine. I feel like as the comedian's like vision of what it would be like is what it is. I mean, actors are so strange. The more acting I do, the more I kind of acclimatize to it, I guess. But for so long I didn't really do any acting, and that was my first professional gig. And it was just like jumping into the cartoon version of what what acting is like.
In so what way? Just thespy people.
Yeah, the most thespy people who just like live to be on the stage, which is never something I've really experienced. And this idea of doing the same play every day for like a year.
Yeah.
Is kind of foreign. I don't know, maybe as comedians we're more used to changing it up a bit more regularly, or we'll kind of like be making it a bit different every night. But that's just like, you know.
And did you try and do that in the play, or would that have been like very frowned upon?
I mean, so frowned upon. I had to really like learn some discipline. I was so unprepared. Yeah. And all these people have been through drama school, which also I hadn't been through, so they just sort of like knew the rules. Right. So I was just terrible. I'd be late all the time. I remember one day I went shopping in Birmingham and just sort of like missed my train back, and so almost missed the show, and obviously like caused everyone like a huge amounts of stress, and was just sort of a bit crap and oblivious, and just they were just fuming. I mean, the cast were obviously just lovely and great because they're all friends by then, but you know, the people whose job it was to make the show actually happen were just like, what the hell is wrong with you? You can't do that, actually.
You
do have to be there. Bought some lovely crop tops, a gorgeous bikini. But yeah, I just kind of realised I had a lot to learn. And even just like being on stage at the right time. I remember I missed my cue once because I was just chatting in a corridor. Awful.
That's so funny. We had that in Edinburgh once. We had this classic student sketch comedy. We had a childline sketch. Do you remember those adverts?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. We did. So there'd be like a spotlight on one person, like Jack gets scared when his mum comes home drunk and violent, and like a spotlight on him, And the second person, I think, was Chris Quayle, and he just didn't come on stage. So there was just a spotlight on the empty bit of stage with his voice in.
No.
It's like, oh, come on.
No. Please. Just on stage. Please come on stage. Please.
So what happened when you missed your cue? Did you come on just late?
No, I sort of ran on, and then I was sort of grabbed in the corridor and just said, you know, it's too late. Don't even bother. We've just moved on. Yeah, it was really bad.
So was there like an integral scene missing from the play?
Thankfully, I mean, it was a sort of, the wedding was announced and then I was meant to be there sort of looking married. So I didn't have any lines to say, thank God. So the audience would have to sort of imagine the scene.
Just had to look married.
Yes, exactly. But I had quite an array of parts. My other part was that I was playing one of the seven deadly sins, and in Dr. Faustus, covetousness.
Nice.
Which is obviously the best one. And the director decided quite late on in the day that my character should obviously be on stilts. The only way to represent covetousness is obviously to be on stilts. And not just two stilts, but four stilts. So a stilt on each hand and a stilt on each leg. So quick trip to the circus school for me.
So you're like a dog on stilts. That sounds terrifying.
I love that you go straight to dog. It was actually like spider was the sort of character I was going for. But yeah, sort of dog-like spider. And the stage was kind of quite crucially on a slant.
Oh my God.
I can't remember what the theatre word for that is, the vault or something. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, every day I had to kind of enter in this, wearing a stocking cap on my head, like a bald cap, and a leotard on these four stilts, and yeah, crawl across the stage, hissing like a spider. It was.
That sounds intense.
Yeah.
So you didn't have any casualties?
No, there was a couple of times where there were school kids. In fact, a lot of school kids would come to watch them, because I think that's like a set text of Dr. Faustus, and there's lots of sort of like derisive laughter greeting us as we walked in, just a lot to deal with.
Did it feel demoralizing, or did it feel like I'm a proper actor and like, this is my craft?
You know what, it was, I had to really kind of fight the kind of self-loathing during that, because there were other plays going on. So there was like Hamlet simultaneously happening, and obviously all the other characters in that show are, you know, proper humans without stilts, crucially. Yeah. And I did sometimes feel a little bit like a knobhead.
It's funny, isn't it, how people, you know, if you say you're in the RSC, there's like a real, like if you say you've done something with BBC, people find it immediately impressive and are like, imagine something very highbrow and sort of showbiz, and then you explain having like a bald cap and stilts and crawling along. reality
is awful. Why do we do it, Annie? Why do we do it?
Because we love it.
We love it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
That was actually one of my hardest days shooting.
Well, I'm afraid to say I haven't seen it. What did you?
That's a very good thing. It was on very fleetingly, I think, because the execs must have realised that it was a complete flop. I wonder if they, I sort of imagine they like tested it with a kind of one of those think groups to see like how it rates, and it got, I just imagine it was rated very poorly. Partly because they put me in these kind of slinky heels that were like massively high, and I'm really tall, so I'm not used to wearing heels anyway. And then I had to walk down this staircase that was like a sort of Space Odyssey style white perspex almost winding staircase with no handrail.
Oh my god.
I had to enter the shop like slinking down.
Why
towards
are people
my
always
husband
putting you on in heels and stilts?
Yeah, that's the theme in my work, man. And I just couldn't walk. I mean, I could not walk downstairs. And they tried it with me for, I mean, hours, until in the end someone just snapped and was like, just take off the shoes, just walk down barefoot.
Oh really?
Yeah, we're done watching you like clopping up and down.
That's hard though, you know, even if you're used to it.
Thank you.
That's when you've got a film crew, and I assume the client were Morrison's there watching as well.
Very much so. Mr. Morrison's had an eagle eye across the whole operation.
Terrifying. So what was the premise?
Sexy lady comes downstairs to greet her sexy husband who's cooking dinner, and she's so happy that he's
very
using Morrison products.
Sort of
half that she gives.
Progressive, half not. Sexy lady, but actually the man's cooking.
Surprise. And then she's so happy that he's using this sort of Morrison specific product. So we had to have this kind of exchange where I had to say something like, what is that you're cooking with? And he had to say like wheat, like something really weird, really like clumsy to say, wheat free Morrison's only spaghetti with like something. And then I'd give him a kiss because I was so happy about it. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a hit. It was on TV for about 4 days and then it was gone.
I'm gonna look it up. As soon as we say goodbye, I'm gonna look it up.
And the kiss is so awkward. Couldn't do it. Couldn't
do a
kiss.
Got
to have
to kiss. Like snog.
No, it was a sort of like seemingly like achievable like peck, but couldn't do it. I often find that. Have you had to do many screen kisses?
No, I had to do one once in an audition, and I was so just embarrassed and awkward. And especially as when I went into the audition, the casting director, who was a man, walked me in holding my hand.
What?
Like I was a child. He grabbed my hand outside, walked me in, and then when he asked the guy his name, he then said, "And you, darling, what's your name?" I was like, so I already felt so sort of angry and patronised. I don't even remember what it was for. I think I've just repressed the memories.
God, I don't blame
you.
Thankfully, also, kissing in an audition, I'm like, really? That's kind of weird as well.
Yeah, for an advert as well. Strange.
It's always the adverts. They're always make you do.
What's the
weirdest
worst
stuff
audition you've ever had?
Oh, I've done so many amazingly bad ones. I had an audition for...
Wow.
As you can imagine, I didn't get it, unfortunately. You'll be surprised to hear. still waiting for the call, but I remember because I need a lot of time to learn lines. I find it really, really hard to just do that thing that some people seem to be able to do of just looking at it and knowing it. And so the minute I got the email, I thought like, oh my god, this is going to be the biggest thing in my life.
Yeah.
Great way to go into it already. Enormous amount of tension, stress, she's quaking from the get-go. And then I arrived, and she does auditions in her house, which is like, again, the most beautiful house I'd ever been in.
Yeah.
And I think I was like 21, hadn't really auditioned much before. And so even like a studio, like a kind of more typical audition, I think I would have freaked out, but it was just so confusing and strange and glamorous.
Yeah.
And then because it's so confidential, they make you sit down and learn the lines like on the spot. So you're not allowed to receive them before, which is, for me, is just hell on earth. So I got there and they sort of said really kindly, you know, they were like, take your time, just whenever you feel comfortable, let us know and then we'll tape you.
Oh, so they were expecting you to be like off book.
Yeah. They're expecting me to sort of like learn it in that time and then go up and do it off book. I think I sat there for an hour and a half, and then it became clear that actually take your time didn't actually mean like sit here all day. And so, yeah, they kind of came and said, I think you should, you know, you're going to come up now. And eventually I sort of went up and just awful, like didn't know a single word. Kept looking down. They kept saying, you know, can you stop looking down? I go, yeah, of course. Yeah. And they just stare back down at the paper. Yeah, I've also heard recently that she keeps all of the tapes that anyone ever does. This might be his, this might be complete rubbish, but that she keeps the tapes on record. So she has a kind of record of who's who. And I just sort of thought,
oh, wow. Oh,
that'll be why I've never been in fair again. She has that record of that atrocity.
That's scary.
Forever preserved. Yeah. I know. Isn't that the worst? I just wish I didn't have that in my brain. So I just don't need to know that.
I'm just filling in my final few shelves and then shall we show each other? I was gonna say our work, but work sounds too grand a title for what I've produced.
Yeah, please can we not call it work? I'm having a crisis. I can't believe. No, I'm gonna stay with it a few more minutes. I'm gonna just keep giving it my all.
Your all, yeah. Have you filled and in? Then... Have you done the whole thing, do you reckon?
No, but I might. I'm going to keep going after we finish.
Do you own any art? Have you got any?
Oh!
I know you said you just moved house, so you've got some quite black walls at the moment, but have you got anything?
I actually bought a piece of art for the first... Actually, these are quite cool, guys. These are my best pieces I bought recently. I'm going to show you one of them. It's a statue. These two little statues that I bought from this Ivorian guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they're sort of like super elongated. That's his
so
head.
Cool.
And then he's got
oh my god,
long
it's
legs.
So tall. That's great.
Yeah. I like him.
Where did you get him from?
Got like an amazing expression. I got him again in a car boot sale, but in Spain, and it was so hard to get him back.
Did you think about that? Take him in your hand luggage? No.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of just bad. What do you call it? What do you call when you
hold?
When you look at something, you think it's a different size from what it is.
Oh yeah,
bad eye perspective, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
and yeah, just kind of looked at it and thought that'll fit in my suitcase. Of course it will. And then the minute I got it back home and put it alongside my case, I mean, twice the size, at least twice the height of my case. So
and
yeah, it was kind of
is it wooden.
Wood, yeah. So several bits of it kind of snapped off over the journey. It was really impractical, but we made it.
And,
Yeah.
What's your plan with it? Where are you going to put it up?
Well, I think so. There's another one who's got a different. The other one's a lawyer, so he's got like a black outfit with like a white tie, and I think they're just going to go side by side of a fireplace.
Nice, really cool. Well, they're quite flammable. I'm not going to get into stuff about vegan diets. Are you vegan?
No.
No.
I don't think I... Well, like, of course I will be when we have to be, but I...
We will have to be, won't we?
Yeah, I think we will.
Do you think it will be in our lifetime?
Yeah.
Really? Shit.
I think it will. I mean, it's probably now. I mean, it probably does need to be now, doesn't it? I mean...
Yeah.
The world is on fire.
Just... Everything's hard enough, isn't it, without not being able to have a bacon sandwich?
I can't tell you how bad this painting is. It's actually...
My drawing is like one of the worst I think I've ever done. It's quite hard to do, isn't it?
Talk more about that because I am feeling bad about myself right now. Talk about how bad it is to draw. Is it because it's so small and fiddly? What's the...
It's because anything that has like specific lines and dimensions... Oh no, I don't want to eat edible insects.
No.
You can buy dried insects in Sainsbury's now, can't you?
Can you? I mean, I'd eat lab-grown meat. Lab-grown meat sounds...
Yeah, I'd think I prefer that to eating like crickets. and mealworm burgers, which is apparently what they have in Germany.
That word is that, meal that is off-putting. Mealworm. Enjoy your mealworm meal.
Yeah, ideally, I don't want to eat anything that has worm in the name. This is very hard because the shelves are very specific. So as soon as you do a line and it's not straight, it looks crap. And then also it's quite hard to get the detail of all the tiny little things. And some of them are just making up.
It's now looking like a sort of 6 month epic. I'm now realizing I may have slightly overestimated or underestimated how long it would take.
I think I've only done the top third.
That's good. I mean, top third is that's very good compared to what I'm working with. I've done all the red bits. All the red bits.
Nice. Have you got any favourite artists?
I really love Miro. Mm. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Is that how you say his name?
Miro, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I went to two, weirdly, had a kind of Miro-themed trip when I went to Spain. Because I went to his studio in Palma.
Oh, nice.
And went to the Miro Museum in Barcelona. So weirdly saw loads. It was really great.
I don't know much about him. Did you learn anything that you didn't?
Well, I learned that he has a lovely house. Had a lovely house. gorgeous studio. Oh yeah, great. This is what I need. He made a wonderful painting called The Hunter.
He's a real surrealist, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm just wondering, Annie, I'm being told that there's about to be a massive amount of noise downstairs because
Someone's
just arrived. Yeah.
That's all right.
I could call you back.
Yeah? What's that? You want some news, do you? Okay, well, here you go. We are going to be recording Secret Artists Podcast live from Aberystwyth Comedy Festival this October. You can get tickets online via their website, abercomedyfest.co.uk. And we're going to be there on Sunday the 3rd of October at 1:30 p.m. with very special guest Jordan Brooks, who won the Edinburgh Comedy Award in 2019 and is the reigning champion in a way. So can't wait to talk to him. It's a lovely festival. There's so many great shows on, but make sure you book to see us. Yeah, I was going to ask you actually, if you could own any piece of art in the world, what would you choose? Would it be a Miro painting?
Oh, wow. Miro or Matisse, I think.
You like it abstract?
Yeah. Yeah, turns out I do. Yeah. I think Matisse. I think I'm not very good with the names, but the one with the body and the star, that's all of them. I'm describing all of them. On the blue background.
Is that one of the cutouts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. The figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really nice.
They're so peaceful.
Very peaceful. We're being shown the Matisse, I think. Oh, dead. Spoiler alert.
I did go and see the Picasso exhibition at the Tate. I feel like it's all just, I'm kind of late to the game realising what a bad, horrible man he was.
Yeah, it's strange what they sort of choose to teach you about.
Yeah.
And he's one of our most celebrated artists.
I feel like I kind of have that whenever I'm getting to know like a new artist or even just like going to a gallery or something. I always have at the back of my mind, like, please don't let me find out they were horrible.
I
had that with Miro. I was like really anticipating some horrible bit of info coming out. But so far, so good.
Yeah, I don't know that he's done anything questionable, but maybe again, it's just what we're being taught about him. I guess there's so many of these celebrated artists are men, so it's likely some of them have done some bad things. And also because they got away with it. Like, why would you stop doing horrible things if no one's calling you up on it?
Yeah.
Do you think you could separate the art from the artist?
With paint, weirdly, I think with like visual art, like paintings and stuff, maybe a little bit easier than with music.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like with music, you're getting someone's voice and it just mm-hmm. feels very like, it feels more intimate. You feel like you're engaging with that person more than looking at their paintings.
Yeah.
But it's a real downer when it's someone that you love and turned up there. I'm not stressed. Yeah. Bastard.
I think Instagram has been, I mean, this is off topic, but Instagram has been a really good way of, especially in lockdown, like discovering new artists. I don't know if you've found that. Because social media generally, as we've said before, is quite a horrendous place, or definitely has the potential to be. But the one thing that I do like it for is discovering people that I don't think I would have otherwise, you know, found out about.
Who have you discovered of late?
Who have I discovered? There's a German, actually no, he's born in France, but I think he lives in Germany, a guy called Pierre Knop, spelled K-N-O-P. He does some quite beautiful, magical landscape paintings with figures in, which I'm quite into.
I'm going to check him out. I discovered... I actually don't know what her full name is, but her handle is uzo.art, I think, uzo.art. And she does these lovely kind of semi-abstract portraits of like more kind of figures with really beautiful colours. And I really like her stuff. She was a lockdown discovery for me.
Oh, nice. Uzo art, did you say?
Yeah, uzo.art. I think that's her handle.
Uzo.art.
If I've got that wrong and it comes up with something. Absolutely.
Born her. There also another artist I found on Instagram called Antonia Showering, who does actually quite similar stuff to Pierre Knop. I realise I think I have a type. Yeah, they're like very colourful, but also quite eerie.
Ooh.
Quite like they ethereal are figures.
Really eerie, yeah.
So I like that sort of thing. And the other guy I was talking about is...
I love that they're kind of, they have like a translucent quality, some of the colours.
Yeah, exactly. Do you study art at school or anything?
No, I did textiles.
Oh, nice.
Textiles GCSE was the closest I got, I think, to actual, to art. And that was always, that's pushing it, making the odds of, what did we make? I think I remember making like a sort of sexy corset at one point.
Nice. So GCSE.
A real GCSE moment.
I made a penguin in textiles at school. It was so bad. I had a crooked nose and like squiffy eyes.
That's kind of sweet and innocent though. That's kind of lovely. Mine was let me make a sort of slutty outfit that I wouldn't be allowed to buy. This is how I get around it, by making my own.
Is that your coursework? Slutty corset?
Yes, slutty coursework, yeah. Yeah.
How are you getting on with your painting?
Oh, and it's terrible. It's actually so bad. That's part of the reason why I'm going quiet, because I'm sort of staring at this monstrosity, trying to think of ways that I could possibly improve it. I just very early on
fill the shelves.
Very early on went wrong with the enormous brown lines. Yeah, that was bad.
Quick fire round. Abstract or realism?
Abstract.
Rembrandt or Banksy?
Rembrandt.
Dawn or dusk?
Dusk.
Sainsbury's or Morrison's?
Morrison's. It's probably the most money I ever made was actually that year, begrudgingly doing those adverts. Yeah.
Moustache or beard?
Beard.
Portrait or landscape?
Landscape.
Tortured artist or logical lawyer?
Tortured artist.
Talk about or think about art?
Talk about.
Looking at a painting close up or far away?
Close up.
Private view or view of privates?
View of privates.
Art or tech?
Art.
Art or books?
Books.
Art or food?
Taking these so seriously. So messy. What was the last one? Food.
Food. Yeah.
Food or art?
Art.
food.
Yeah. And finally, dicks or pussies?
Pussies.
Let's see yours first. Oh, it's good.
Really?
I like it. Yeah, I like how each thing is in like a white box. I like that you've not done it all brown, because I've done mine all brown and yours is
like... Have you?
Yours feels quite Miro-esque, actually. The like bold colour and the shapes. It's great. I really like it.
Okay, that's made me feel a lot better about it.
I feel like it looks finished as well. I like. Thank I don't God. Think you should fill in all the shelves. I quite like okay. that you've just done a few of them.
I feel amazing now.
Mine is just like a child's drawing.
What the hell?
Can you see
How
it?
Have you done that in the time? That's incredible.
Well, when you swapped locations, I did carry on.
That is so nice. That is so nice.
It's just a sort of crayon
drawing. I actually love it. It's kind of romantic, though. Maybe because of the pencil. It's sort of like...
Maybe. It's very brown, isn't it?
It's really lovely.
It's very sad. Feel better about it. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to follow Rosa on social media. She's on Twitter, I am Rosa Robson, and she's on Instagram, Rosa Graces. And Graces is with a Z, believe it or not. I'm on Instagram and Twitter, aren't we all? And so is the podcast. So make sure you're following at Secret Art Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Leave us a nice little review. And if that's not your style, then don't. Thank you very much. See you next time. Good. Bye. Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.